It is time for another edition of the JMRA Podcast. I am your host, Joe Montana's right arm, here to discuss another week of National Football League action on a Sunday. That's right, the usual Sunday discussion of the latest doings in the NFL. And boy, what a week. Week number 13 of action going on in the NFL, and we've got a ton to get to here in terms of the show. We will give you the social media rundown right about now at Joe M's Right Arm on Twitter. Also, you can check us out as well on the blog, joemontanasrightarm.com. We're on Facebook and Vine and all that stuff. So check it out if you get a chance by simply searching Joe Montana's Right Arm. Okay, before we get to the games for this week, I've got to send a major league shout out to the Green Bay Packer fans, because the Packers, as many of you know, defeated the Detroit Lions on Thursday night in a miracle finish. Aaron Rodgers throwing a rainbow of a Hail Mary. That was one of the greatest throws in league history. I can't remember. The only throw I can remember maybe that was as majestic looking as that was that failed Brady attempt in Super Bowl 42 to hit Randy Moss on a bomb. I mean, that it was a gorgeous looking pass from Aaron Rodgers. I mean, that's top of the food chain stuff right there. Anyhow, the reason I'm giving a shout out to Packers fans, they blew up the blog Friday morning and through the weekend, reliving the glory of the radio call I posted from Green Bay Radio, and also the Sad Pants radio call from the Detroit Lions that I posted as well. And as a result, that one day of traffic, Friday morning, biggest day of traffic in the history of our website. So I thank you, Green Bay Packers. You all are the bomb. I knew I always liked you guys from when I was a kid and watching Don Majkowski run around for the 89 Packers, underrated NFL team as far as being a fun squad, by the way, and into the Brett Favre years. You guys, good stuff, much appreciated, and a tip of the cap as the Packers come from behind to defeat the Detroit Lions in just a brutal loss. I would say I wouldn't wish that loss on anybody, but that's not true. There are a couple franchises I wish that type of loss on, but that's another story for another day. Anyhow, let's get into it. It is time to get to, well, the game of the week. That leads us to Foxborough and a shocking 35-28 win for the Philadelphia Eagles over the New England Patriots. I live blogged this game. If you caught the opening line of the live blog, I said this was like a family game to me. You know, I root for the Eagles, and then of course I am a Brady and Belichick sympathizer, and this was really weird to watch because it was almost as if the two sides switched at a certain point of the game, which I'll get to in a second. The Patriots lose this one. Before we get into the particulars of why they lost, let's get down to the nuts and bolts real quick as far as what the loss means. So the Patriots now have dropped two games in a row here for the first time since, I believe, the 2012 season. Now, one thing to keep in mind here, okay, before everyone freaks out, if you're a Patriots fan, a couple of things. Number one, you look at the top three teams in the AFC, Denver, Cincinnati, and the Patriots. All three now have had points of the year where they've looked kind of meh. You have Cincinnati losing the back-to-back games to Houston on a Monday night at home. I mean, that loss was almost worse than, at the time, I thought that loss was worse than what happened today between the Eagles and the Patriots, because the Texans are totally bereft of talent in certain aspects of the team, unlike the Eagles, who are a talented club. I mean, that's a good roster. I mean, we'll get into it in a second, but that's a good roster, folks. I mean, they're guilty of, I don't want to use laziness because I'm not an NFL player, but I mean, it's just a team that doesn't, they look like they don't try hard enough. And I think that's their issue. But, you know, Cincinnati loses that game to Houston at home, and then they come back the following week on the road, lose to Arizona. So you start questioning whether or not they're legitimate. Denver goes through their mess. They lose to Indianapolis. They have that terrible performance at home against the Kansas City Chiefs. You start questioning them a little bit, and obviously the situation with Peyton Manning. So a lot of things there with those two teams where you look at them and you say, man, I'm not sure that those teams are good enough to get to the Super Bowl. And then I think at that point, a lot of people were like, okay, well, Denver looks kind of wonky. The Bengals don't look legitimate as usual. It's Andy Dalton. I'll never trust him, so on and so forth. So then you turn over the keys of the store to the Patriots as far as being the top team in the AFC. And look, I mean, the reality is this. There's no Deion Lewis. There's no Julian Edelman. Now there's no Rob Gronkowski. Look, I'm not going to sit here and lie to you and say, hey, I thought the Eagles were going to win this game. But, like, I did not come into this game thinking the Eagles were, like, going to roll over. Because, as Chip Kelly told the team on Saturday night, this was their season. This was their Super Bowl. They had to play well. Because if you don't play well against the Patriots, you're going to get embarrassed. And the Eagles had obviously hit their wits' end in terms of that. So they didn't want to get embarrassed, and I think that kind of played out a little bit in certain aspects of the game. Now, as far as what we saw on the field, a couple of things. Number one, without a doubt, to me, the key sequence in this game, the Patriots go up 14-0, and then for some, I don't know why he did this. I really don't. Bill Belichick has made a lot of great decisions as a head coach, but this today was not one of them with that drop kick by Nate Ebner, who is a defensive back. He used him to drop kick the football. It was recovered by the Eagles right around the 40-yard line of Philly, and then they go in and score. And look, man, I mean, 14-0. You kick that ball away, they're going to quit. I mean, that's the thing about this game. Had the Patriots didn't have to play an A game to beat the Eagles. They probably didn't have to play a B-plus game to beat the Eagles. You're up 14-0 in your building. And, you know, for the Patriots, 9 times out of 10, that is a wrap at 14-0. A wrap. And they let him right back into the game. And I don't know if it was because maybe he thought that there was no way possible that the Philadelphia Eagles would actually win this game. So he said, let me see what I can do with this, give something for other teams to look at on film. And I personally don't understand it. I did not get it at all. And I thought that was the biggest play of the game. You know, you look at all the other, the turnovers and the 100-yard interception return for a score, which we'll get into in a second. But just, I think that was just a matter of, he got too cute. I mean, that's the bottom line. And you will not find any bigger supporter of Bill Belichick than me, but I just thought that was a terrible mistake when it happened live. I didn't like it. And then when you look at how the game played out, that switched things around. Clearly the block punt was huge going in, you know, 14-7. Again, it's 14-7 at halftime. You're thinking, oh, all right, whatever. New England's going to come out here and score 21-7. Boom, 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 boom. It's over. And instead you get a block punt. And now it's the second straight week where really special teams has played a key figure in giving the Patriots a lot of issues internally on their own that they have to deal with. And then, of course, the 100-yard interception return for a score that puts the Eagles up by 7. And, of course, later on, you get the Darren Sproles punt return. It puts them up 28-14. The Eagles had a shot to give this thing away. They got up 35-14, almost did. And then Brady and the Patriots could not come away with it after the Eagles almost served up a tie game to them on a platter by putting Kenyon Barner in to carry the football. Why? Just give DeMarco Murray the ball. Like, he may not go anywhere, but at least, like, he's probably not going to fumble. So, the Eagles, speaking of overthinking things, probably overthought that one too. But I'll tell you what, getting back to the Patriots for a second, this is the issue with not having those receivers. I think it comes down to that. If you don't have the receivers that can challenge teams, then you're going to have Tom Brady overcompensating. And we've seen it here over the last couple of weeks where he's throwing these long bombs downfield to Brandon LaFell, and LaFell stops running the route and thing. You know, that type of stuff. It's stuff we're not used to seeing from the Patriots. So they've got to win. I think if you're New England, you got to figure out a way to win three of these last four games, because 13 wins, I think, is going to get you a bye. We'll talk about the upcoming schedules for the other teams in a bit, but I think 13 wins will get you a bye. The Patriots have to find a way to get there. And, you know, you look at the upcoming games, that may not be that easy for them to do that. So, it's going to be real interesting to see how this develops over the next couple of weeks here for the Patriots, who have a tough game next Sunday night. They go on the road at Houston. So, you know, hey, if you're New England, I think you have to take a look at this and say, we did not play well. Again, the last two games were, you know, the Patriots really, I thought, put the onus on themselves as far as the reason why they were in the situation they ended up being in. You know, you had those special teams mistakes, the turnovers, Brady's trying to jam a ball in at the goal line for some reason on third down. You know, he throws an incomplete pass there. It's a 17-14 Patriots lead. Instead, it's 21-14 going the other way. As for the Eagles, that saved their season for now. The Eagles have a very tough slate to close the year. They play Buffalo at home next week. LeSean McCoy is obviously awaiting that game anxiously. He may have already left Buffalo to go to Philadelphia to get ready for that one. Then you come up against the Arizona Cardinals, and then from there, Washington and the Giants to close the year. So this, if anything, may have prolonged the inevitable if you're an Eagles fan. But for one day, it feels good to see them play in that regard and respond that way against, you know, one of the AFC's best teams. The Patriots certainly don't have the roster right now of one of the AFC's best teams. But if you're a Patriots fan, then stop booing, okay? You have no right to boo anybody in that building. I thought that was insulting. I thought it was an embarrassment. Patriot fans are the last fan base that should be booing anybody. Unless the Jacksonville Jaguars walk into Gillette Stadium and score 70 points on the Patriots, you know what? Then you boo. That to me was atrocious. No right to boo anything that organization does on the field for quite some time. Considering where you were as a franchise in the 60s, in the 70s, with the exception of a couple years where you were in the 80s and in the 90s, pre-Belichick and Parcells, stop it. Grow up. Stop being a brat. Okay? I thought that bothered me more than anything else in the game. Like, why are you booing? Like, that was just stupid. It's 14-14. It's not like they were down, as they were later on, 35-14. It's not like you gave up 50 points in the first half. Hey, look, I love Patriots fans. A lot of them support my stuff on the blog, so thumbs up to you guys. But if you were there at the game booing, give me a break. All right, let's move on here to other business. Buffalo 30, Houston 21. Tyrod Taylor throws three touchdowns in the win. LeSean McCoy, we just talked about him, 21 carries, 112 yards. He is ready to go for the Eagles. If you watch his post-game press conference, he said, "You know who's next," and then he walked away from the podium. So you want to talk about a guy who will be ready to run through the tunnel and run through a brick wall next Sunday afternoon. It will be that guy. That will be a fun one to watch. The Bills, you have to give them a lot of credit. They did a good job on J.J. Watt blocking him up. He only had two tackles with two assists thrown in as well. Key sequence in the game, 21-all. Tyrod Taylor, 40-yard touchdown pass to Charles Clay to put them out of the front, 27-21. And then from there, turnover on downs. The Bills come up with a field goal after that to make it 32-21. The Bills are now 6-6 on the year, as are the Houston Texans. And they are, well, tied for first place with the Colts on a technicality. The Colts, of course, have the win earlier this season against the Texans. 49ers 26, Bears 20 in overtime. The Bears are, at least to me, they're toast in the NFC playoff race at 5-7 after the walk-off touchdown catch by Torrey Smith. I think that writes a finish to the Bears this season. the Cincinnati Bengals. We talked about them a little bit earlier. 37-3 win over the Browns. The Browns just nailed it in today. Just a dreadful performance by Cleveland. The Bengals are now, by virtue of what has happened with the Patriots on Sunday, they're the number one seed in the AFC at the moment. A.J. Green, 128 yards and a touchdown catch. Andy Dalton with three total touchdowns, two through the air, one on the ground. Look, I don't know with Cincinnati's schedule if they can hold together on a number one seed. I think it'll be very tough. They have to play Pittsburgh coming up again. They have to play Denver coming up. I think that's going to be difficult for them to really hold that together. So we'll see if the Bengals can hold on to the top spot. That's what I was saying earlier. If you're a Patriots fan, like, chill out, okay? You lose next week at Houston, then you got some problems. But until that time, like, somebody out of this upcoming schedule for Denver and Cincinnati, somebody's going to drop the ball, okay? You take care of business, you get to 13 wins, then you're probably going to be okay. If you win 13 games, highly unlikely you're going to end up playing on wild card weekend, at least this year. I still think it's going to play out that way. Anyhow, Johnny Manziel will start the final four games for the Browns, as announced afterwards. And if you're Cleveland, I mean, that's all you can hope for. And you got to find out whether this kid can play or not, because if he can't, then you move on in the draft coming up next spring. Miami 15, the Baltimore Ravens 13. This shows you how much disarray Miami is in right now. So they fire their offensive coordinator last week, and they come out and respond by gaining 219 yards of total offense and go 4 for 13 on third downs. Ryan Tannehill under 100 yards passing. Why did they fire the coordinator again? I don't understand. First of all, no team should be firing their head coach and offensive coordinator like, what is it? Like, I don't know the number off the top of my head, but it's like 6 or 7 weeks or whatever it is apart. Like, what are you doing? Come on. That shows you, at least to me, what's going on out there in Miami. Just total disorganization by the organization. Big game in the NFC this week. Seattle 38, Minnesota 7. Absolute trouncing by the Seahawks. They gave the Vikings the full Monty performance. That was the deluxe car wash special, if you will. They got it any which way you can think about it. The offense of the Seahawks was tremendous. Russell Wilson, 274 yards through the air, three touchdowns, one rush on the ground. Thomas Rawls filling in for Marshawn Lynch, 101 yards and a touchdown. The Vikings held to 125 yards of offense. They're not ready for the big boys yet, and I think, you know, if they get in the playoffs, depending on who that draw is, like if you end up playing Washington or something like that, yeah, you can win a game, but I think that is a team, that's a classic case of a team who is divisional round fodder. Like, if they get to divisional round, they'll lose by three touchdowns. Like, that's who I think this team is. Now, granted, they had a bunch of injuries today on defense, which did not help, but I just think that's a team that's tailor-made to get beat up bad if they get to the playoffs and get to the divisional round. If you're Minnesota, I think your program, if you will, you know, you're hoping to get into the postseason and take your chances there. I think for them, a successful season is them just getting to the playoffs. If you lose in the playoffs, hey, it happens to everybody, but this was not good. This was just not the type of performance that you want to see out of a team that's competing for a divisional title, and I think that's a major issue going forward for them. Meanwhile, if you're Seattle, you know, Seattle looks like to me, and I pick them to go back to the Super Bowl and win it. I think they're the best team in the NFC right now, and that sounds crazy. I know they gave up 1 billion yards last week to Pittsburgh, and, you know, there's still some issues there with the defense, but if Russell Wilson is a capable quarterback, and not the Russell Wilson we saw last year and the year before, where it's quasi-game manager Russ, then that is a major problem for the NFC, because they can go anywhere and play that style of football. Now, the question for them is, you know, I thought, if you go back to not the year they won the Super Bowl in 2013, I thought 2012, they were outstanding. And the thing they ran up against was that, you know, you open the playoffs and you have to play on the road week after week. Not everybody can do that. I think that's the one major concern I'd have if I'm a Seahawks fan. They look great, but I don't know that they can play that well considering how their defense has been this year. I don't know if they can play that well on the road 3 straight weeks in a row to get to a Super Bowl. So I think that's a major concern. But I think right now they look as good as anybody in the NFC, including the 12-0 Carolina Panthers. I know that's crazy to say because, you know, Cam Newton is Cam Newton right now. But I just love what the Seahawks have set up. And if I'm Seattle, Marshawn Lynch, if he comes back, later days, boss. I think it's, you know, the thing with a team like Seattle and Denver that we're going to talk about later, you know, hey, it's time to give some guys some gold watches if you want to get to the Super Bowl. And I'm talking about Marshawn Lynch and Peyton Manning. You know, thanks for the memories, guys. It's over. Because if you let these guys get back in to their normal rotation and their normal way of doing business, you're going to get, I think, similar results to what you got when they were playing prominent roles with the team this particular season. Okay, moving right along here. The Jets 23, the Giants 20. Terrible loss for the New York Giants. With 4:38 left to go, the Giants led by 10. They choked this one away. I mean, Tom Coughlin's done a lot. I think it might be time for him. The team, it just seems like they're not responding to him in critical situations. They've had the lead a bunch of times here late in the fourth quarter and just have not been able to deal well with prosperity. But I think there are two key sequences in this game. No question, the 4th-and-2 interception at the Jets 4 was major as far as them losing this game. But I'll give you another one. And this would bother me for a while if I'm a Jets fan. Excuse me, if I'm a Giants fan. In overtime, okay, Odell Beckham Jr. has a ball thrown to him deep downfield by Eli Manning. Okay, Beckham drops the ball. Now, if you go back and watch that play, and I saw it live, it looked like to me Beckham may have been anticipating the safety coming over the top, and he didn't want to get hit. And then he dropped the football because he started peeking. And then he kicks the football and gets that delay of game penalty. Now, you might be thinking, well, it's not that big of a deal because they got 20 yards out of it. But it is a big deal because if he catches that football, you don't have a long-ish field goal attempt, which they ended up missing. And then from there, lose the game. I think that was a huge play in the contest. And, you know, we've seen a couple of times now where Odell Beckham Jr. does not come up with big catches. And I know he came up with the one last week against Washington or whatever. The game against the Patriots, Malcolm Butler slaps that ball away from him. And then today, you know, I think you can make the case that maybe he heard some footsteps. Maybe. And, you know, he drops that football. I think that's why he kicked it. That's why he kicked it afterwards, because he was so frustrated over what happened. And I think he was probably a little annoyed at himself. So just a terrible loss by the Giants, who now drop 2-5-7, and hey, you know, they're right there with the Eagles at 5-7, and incredibly, the Washington Redskins, with a win against the Dallas Cowboys on Monday night, can have a one-game lead in the NFC East, and who knows, that might be the equivalent of having a 5-game lead, the way these teams have been playing here over the last month, but just an awful loss by the Giants, and you know, you can't keep giving these games away if you're them. Meanwhile, the Jets, they stay alive in the AFC playoff race, and the Jets are going to need every single win to stay in the playoff hunt because of a team we're going to talk about in a little bit, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Arizona 27, St. Louis 3. The Cardinals win easily. Big game coming up against the Vikings on Thursday. They have a tough schedule coming up as well. The Cardinals at 10-2 right now. They win that game next week. I think they'll pretty much solidify a bye along with Carolina as far as being the 1 and the 2 in the NFC heading in to the postseason. I don't think they're going to blow that lead and open the door for Seattle to get back into the divisional race, so that'll be important certainly for Arizona. Another strong day from Carson Palmer. Tampa Bay 23, Atlanta 19. Atlanta now 6-6. I believe they're 5-0 to start at one point. 6-6. Same record as Tampa Bay. Jameis Winston, 227 yards, a touchdown through the air, one on the ground. The Falcons, with about 90 seconds left to go, were trailing. And then Matt Ryan throws an INT to Lavonte David. And that was all she wrote, as Tampa now draws even to 6-6. Atlanta now at 6-6. And Atlanta, you know, that is a team that will not be a part of the playoffs. It's crazy to think because they looked pretty good at one point. But that offense has been in a tailspin for a little while now. Tennessee 42, Jacksonville 39, Marcus Mariota, 268 yards, 3 touchdowns, 112 yards rushing, including an 87-yard touchdown run. Oof. Just when you think the Jaguars might be decent, they set out to prove you wrong. Kansas City 34, Oakland 20, Alex Smith 2 touchdowns, the Chiefs intercept Derek Carr 3 times. They are now 7-5 and clearly on a beeline for the postseason. Here are their final 4 games: San Diego, Baltimore, Cleveland, Oakland. 4 wins. I mean, let's say they slip on a banana peel and lose 1. Okay? That puts you at 10-6. Not a lot of room for error right now in the AFC with that 5-6 spot, but I would have to say the way Kansas City's playing right now with that remaining schedule, they look pretty good going in to the playoffs potentially. Denver 17, San Diego 3, Osweiler not spectacular today, 166 and a touchdown. CJ Anderson ankle injury. He says via Twitter that he'll be okay. Who knows what that means? But Denver has some huge games coming up. Their next 3 games are Oakland at home, Pittsburgh, and Cincinnati. So we were talking earlier about the AFC 1 and the 2 situation. Denver and Cincinnati are going to, of course, cross hairs. And then from there, Pittsburgh is going to play a big role in this as well. Carolina stays unbeaten, 12-0. Cam Newton, I think, today won the MVP award as we tape this on a Sunday night. Threw 5 touchdown passes, a late TD pass to Jericho Conchery, and their last 3 games, Falcons, Giants, Falcons again, as a part of their rundown, or excuse me, their next 3 games, that's the rundown. Falcons twice, and then the Giants thrown in there as well. Panthers overcame a 14-0 deficit, and in turn now, just 4 games away, 4 wins away from running the table. Incredible that of all teams, without the services of top receiver Kelvin Benjamin, could possibly run the table. But that's what Carolina's looking at doing. And then to close it out, Pittsburgh 45, Indianapolis 10. Ben Roethlisberger, 364 yards passing, 4 touchdowns. Martavis Bryant, huge day, 114 yards and a touchdown. Antonio Brown, 118 and 2 TDs for the Steelers, and one of the great punt returns that you will ever see as far as the celebration goes. He did a quasi-stripper pole slide thing down the field goal post, which was funny because he accidentally bumped into a security guard as well. Hilarious. Go to JoeMontanasRightArm.com to check it out. Notable news here. Matt Hasselbeck suffered an injury during the game, late stages. Charlie Whitehurst came in. They play Jacksonville next week. I mean, I'm not saying Charlie Whitehurst is awful, but he may not be the best guy to play in an NFL game at this point. So, you know, you're down to your third string at that point. That's not a good sign for you if you're Indianapolis. Jim Irsay did say that he thinks Andrew Luck will be back before the end of the regular season. They will probably need him at some point, as the Colts now at 6-6 in a tie for first place in the AFC South with the Houston Texans. That will do it for the Sunday recap here. And, of course, we remind you that you can check us out on the blog, JoeMontanasRightArm.com, on Twitter, at JoeM'sRightArm, and Facebook, search Joe Montana's Right Arm. Good times talking football with you. We will talk to you again very, very, very soon. Until next time, happy football, everybody.